There are situations where people, where employers want to record what the employee's doing because they have no other way of tracking them. So they put some software on their computer, but they don't necessarily inform the employee of that. In certain states, require some type of disclosure. So there could be some violations of law in that respect. So yeah, it's a mess. And then, you know, obviously now it's the talent pool. Some people allow people to work from home or at least a hybrid schedule, hoping they can get better talent for less money.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, you know, the big trend, remote work, seems to be the companies are backing off on that for a number of reasons. One major reason that you probably aren't aware of is the potential legal aspects, the liabilities involved with you working at home. What happens if, you know, you're at home and you trip and you bang your head on your desk and you wind up in the hospital? Who's liable for this? Workman's comp, all that. There's a lot of legal issues. John Bell is with us from Bell Law Group. And John, you are a New Yorker, and I guess you've been dealing with this trend a lot, considering all those empty high-rises in Manhattan now.
That's correct. I'm a labor and employment attorney in Syosset, Long Island. So there's been so many changes in the landscape. First off, getting everybody to the virtual reality of trying to be productive in the from home. And then now the trend seems to be, like you said, getting everybody back in the workplace, which is making some employees very unhappy, and the legal implications involved both while they were home and now transitioning back. You know, the couple of big ones that I've seen while people have been working from home has been the hourly employees relating to time and attendance and how that's being reported. Apparently, a lot of employees now feel like they have flexibility to work after hours and sometimes more than 40 hours a week. And it's up to the employer to somehow track that time and pay people time and a half for that work, which is required under, at least here in New York, New York State and New York City law. And then you have the federal law, the FLSA, that guides us under the overtime laws as well. So that seems to be a huge problem. There's also times when employees don't necessarily record their leave, if they have to go out to a doctor's appointment or not, take off some time during the day. Employers are finding difficult to track when to use PTO, when not, if you could use it for part of the day or all of the day, and things of that nature. So that's a big one.
Right. So tracking your employees, and I would think the more sophisticated companies, the larger entities, have got systems in place to do all that tracking, but smaller companies probably are remiss. And, you know, in places like Germany, you're not allowed to work more than 40 hours a week. And if you do, the company can be fined a lot of money, and they have to actually file reports on timekeeping with the government, how much your employees worked, et cetera. And I've heard of a number of large companies actually just kind of fudging those reports.
Yeah, well, let's not get the word out too much around here. One of my employees now moving to Germany as a result.
Careful. and then, like, how do you prove that you work more than 40 hours? It's, if you don't have that tracking system in place, it's very difficult to actually track people. I mean, in nice, it's theory. Yeah, the computer is on. Everybody's doing their business. It's tracking. But the reality is tracking is a lot harder than that, isn't it?
Tracking is a lot harder, and it still falls on the employer. So the employer can't point to the employee and say, well, the employee didn't let me know they were working after hours. And what employers have to understand, too, is now they're getting used to a texting and calling situation when the employee is at home, and then they might lose those boundaries because they're used to seeing somebody in the office and speaking with them, and they might call them or text them later than, you know, the regular work hour and expect these people to check their email after hours while they're not being compensated. Now, understand, again, if you're properly on salary, then it's not an issue.
Yeah.
But if you're an hourly worker, it is an issue. And the biggest issue I'm seeing, Kerry, with coming back to the workplace, a lot of calls I'm getting from small, medium, and large-sized companies are the employees that don't want to come back to the workplace but are claiming some type of medical condition which is preventing them from coming back to the workplace. So in that situation, if an employee provides medical documentation that they can perform the essential functions of the job at home and they do have some type of medical condition which allows them or whether they're required to work from home, what does the employer do and what actions do the employer has to take, such as engaging in the interactive process? A lot of these employers are scrutinizing these medical records and notes in believing the employee is just making something like this up. But there has to be some interactive process, potentially a review from your own physician to see if it's warranted. And it could be a reasonable accommodation where such request can't be denied.
Yeah, well, that brings another thing, though. The at-home work, the remote work, really gives opportunities to people who are legitimately disabled and legitimately can't get to the office. Or in the case of new mothers, new parents, where they might otherwise quit, but in this case, because they can work from home, you still get the benefit of their efforts.
Yes, and then and that's a very good point. And then when the employer does make a quote-unquote exception, or even if they're following the law under the Americans with Disability Act, other employees may catch wind of it and claim that they're being treated differently, and why are they forced to go back into the workplace, not understanding that there's a legal requirement that you may have to provide that employee with a specific accommodation. So then it causes unnecessary hostility in the workplace when one employee is comparing themselves to another one.
Yeah. So this thing like seems like wonderful in theory, but it's really kind of a mess, isn't it?
It is a mess. And from what my research is, the majority of people who are working from home, they are 35% more likely to be terminated when they refuse to come back into work. And understand, an employer can change their mind and require people to come back to work. The only exception that I know of is, like I said, if there's a medical condition requiring some reasonable accommodation. There may be some other leave requirements, right, like FMLA or paid family leave or things of that nature that could cover the birth of a newborn. But in that situation, you're not working from home. You're allowed to stay home and you have some job security for when you want to return to the workplace. But for actually working at home, it's basically the Americans with Disabilities Act that an employee that qualifies can rely on to stay working from home and be gainfully employed.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because really with email, with texting, with remote work, it kind of, with the cloud-based computing, this trend was really underway for many years before we like woke up one day during the pandemic and realized, hey, you can work remotely. So we were going to get here anyway. I guess the pandemic speeded it up by several years.
It certainly did, and probably to a greater extent than we would have ordinarily gotten there. You know, there's substantial communication difficulties when people work from home. You just can't have those meetings. There's some cybersecurity risks that I've learned of. Obviously, in certain situations, you're dealing with lower productivity from workers. There are situations where employers want to record what the employee is doing because they have no other way of tracking them. So they put some software on their computer, but they don't necessarily inform the employer of that. In certain states, require some type of disclosure. So there could be some violations of law in that respect. So yeah, it's a mess. And then, you know, obviously now it's the talent pool. Some people allow people to work from home or at least a hybrid schedule, hoping they can get better talent for less money.
Yeah, well, I know, like my daughter, you know, she's on permanent remote status with a major tech company, and they seem to be very happy with the way it is. But I'm sure I'm sure it's very challenging, especially with that like surreptitious monitoring of employees to be sure that they're living by the rules. Because if you don't tell them, I think you got some real problems there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We in my law firm, we have about 18 attorneys. Most of them take advantage of a hybrid schedule, work from home schedule. And you tend to learn fairly quickly which attorneys can work in that type of environment and which attorneys are taking advantage of it. So this flows not only to business organizations, large companies, small companies, medium-sized, and professionals.
Yeah. So what about the more traditional, like, workman's comp thing? You get injured at home. You know, for one thing, hey, you could still work from home, probably, right?
Sure. I mean, I've heard of employees, if they're in technically working and they're working from home and they bang their knee against their desk, put in a workers' comp claim to cover the medical fees and things of that nature. So, yeah, if you're in the course of your employment and you injure yourself, you could file workers' comp and workers' comp will cover you, as opposed to going through your regular medical insurance, which if you have insurance, you can do that as well.
I guess you advise clients about this. Have you put together some kind of checklist or guidebook or white paper for your clients so that they don't run afoul?
So personally, no. My firm hasn't done that. We have our regular employer clients that we regularly counsel, and they contact us specific to certain questions. We also have employees that we represent that where the employer allegedly runs afoul of the laws and rules, which we've capitalized on because there's been a number of mistakes during this transition. So, my advice would be work with a knowledgeable HR representative or make contact with a local labor and employment attorney to learn these rules, what you can do and what you can't do, because it's a fluid environment, employment law, that, you know, not just related to working from home and not and getting people back in the office, but generally with different changes in the law that happen, annually and even more frequent than that, you need to be apprised because an employer could really get themselves in trouble if they're not up on the different changes of the law at the time those laws are being made.
Right. And I would think that you really have to update your employee handbooks and manuals and things like that to reflect the new reality here.
Absolutely. There's always change in minimum wage and in paid family leave and things of that nature.
All right. Hey, so if people want to find out more, they want to talk to you about this, John, get some advice, some counsel, how do they reach you?
855 John Bell. That's 855-566-2355. My website is BellLG, as in law group, BellLG.com.
All right. Excellent. Hey, if you've got a question for John, myself, you can always send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. And you can find a link directly to John's site on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, in the show notes of this interview. While you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. John, appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Carrie, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.